Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sun is out. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. It's 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Luke Sloan on the updates. We got phone calls to get to and the question today, what's real? What's more of the truth? Who the Lions were week one at Green Bay or who the Lions were on Sunday at home against the Bears? And there's elements of both, but don't cop out. Play along. Which one is more of who they are? Like I would tell you, their pass rush is the team that couldn't get to Jordan Love. Their offensive line, communicating, putting hat on a hat, unlocked the offense that we thought we would see all season. The Bears game is the one that felt more familiar. The Packers game is the one that felt foreign. But you got to prove it. And they have to prove it against teams like Green Bay. So you can unwind this ball of yarn however you'd like. 248-539-9797. Matthew, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, okay, so I called last week, told everyone to relax a little bit after the Packers game. I think we're seeing what's always been happening. It might take a game, it might take a season, but you know, this offense, this team, they get it together. There's a reason why everyone believes in them. And I think the first one, didn't Micah Parsons come 4 days before they played? Like, there's no looks there. There's no research you can do. I just think it was a first game of the season with a lot of unknowns. If they needed to do what they needed to do against the Bears, and I think the big test is going to be the Ravens, but I don't think there's anything to worry about, to be completely honest.
Yeah, there's a world, though, where they lose to Baltimore, and they're still the team that played the Bears. Baltimore's a good team. You're on the road. They could lose that game and still be a 12-win football team.
Right. I don't think anybody is sitting here going, well, okay, well, they fixed everything against the Bears, and now they're going to end up 16-1, except maybe, you know, caller Greg.
Well, if they lose one more, they'll be at 15.
Yeah.
We know the game. But what I'm saying is I would caution the Ravens being the referendum game that decides week one versus week two. Because week one may have been too many moving parts and changes and miscommunications and sloppiness. Week two, hey, Dan Campbell's offense is still Dan Campbell's offense. We don't need Ben Johnson. And that still might not be good enough to beat Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? Like game two could be the real Lions and they could still lose week three.
I mean, I think the big thing that came out just week to week was how much better the offensive line played. Because that's where I was fearing, oh no, this thing could go sideways. Because they need their offense to be a Super Bowl caliber team. The defense was going to always be the question mark, and it's going to be a work in progress throughout the year. I still have questions about that and how they're going to contain the Ravens next Monday.
As do I. I mean, they're 5.5-point underdogs, and I don't expect them to win as we sit here today. Texter says they are who shows up against Baltimore. That's Jason. He says, and happy birthday, Teddy.
Oh, thank you.
Texter says, good morning. If you look to be a Super Bowl team, you need to look good against other Super Bowl caliber teams. That's Green Bay, not Chicago. Also says, go blue, John.
Go blue.
Why can't they be both teams? Both the team that played in Chicago and both the team that played in Green Bay. Same team, different opponents.
All right. So, yeah, sure, there's that extreme. They could be that team against good teams, and they could be the team that played the Bears against bad teams. I think they're not playing the game. They're certainly somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
they're not as bad as they were week one, and they're not as grandiose as it looked in week two.
The same ones that said all offseason how the Bears got better and we didn't, all of a sudden are saying we should have blown out the Bears because they're a bottom feeder. It's funny how the narrative changes. Cough, cough, 2-6.
Well, I mean, so the narratives or some of the facts about Chicago was they hired Ben Johnson. We had no idea how he's going to be as a head coach, and the jury is certainly still out. But what did he do the first thing he got there? Improve the offensive line. and went and got himself a tight end because he knows the tight end is important in his offense. Now, he's not using that tight end, but there are some things where you looked and you said, okay, well, maybe they are better. But they're not playing like it now.
No, and I'm not going to tell 2-6 how to do their show. You win that way by 31 points. It's a little weird to tell people they didn't do enough. Like, yeah, they didn't win the Super Bowl last Sunday. They couldn't win the Super Bowl last Sunday. They had the best possible outcome. They took Ben Johnson and any questions of whether or not they could keep the offense going, and they made that statement. They won by 31 points. That's not the bare minimum. That's not just doing what you're supposed to do. That's weird energy. You want to say they didn't win the Super Bowl? Fine, they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
248-539-9797.
There's still a lot of work to be done. And we will, every time they take the field, no matter the opponent, no matter the location, we're going to learn a lot more about this team. And we'll know certainly, we'll have a clearer definition of what this team is when we get to week 6 or 7. Because we will have seen them against good teams, against bad teams. And are they going to do the same thing against Cleveland when they play? I don't know.
I mean, they could drop 50 on Cleveland.
They could, but Cleveland's strength is the defense. Mm-hmm. And if they do it against a defense like that, then okay, well, okay, maybe the offense is clicking. But they've got to find a way to solve the equation of a mobile quarterback in a good offense.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I just know when the season started, we highlighted how difficult the schedule was. We knew they'd take some lumps. Everybody on the station thought they were going to come back down to earth from a win-loss standpoint. So if they lose a couple games early, but you still see that that team is in there, and Chicago showed you, hey, that team is still in there somewhere, that's the team you got to have humming at the end of the season. Let's get to the phones. Jeff in Detroit. Jeff, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. Well, to go back to your question, hopefully this isn't a cop-out. I think the team that showed up against Green Bay is indicative of our defense, which needs to get much better. The team that showed up against the Bears is indicative of our offense. And when we go up against teams with elite quarterbacks, I think we're going to struggle, just like we did last year. So that's my biggest concern.
I think it's a fair read. I think their questions about getting to the quarterback are noted. They couldn't get to Jordan Love at all. Now Marcus Davenport is injured. Surprise there. And they're going to face better teams than the Bears, and you're going to need to get home. Offensively, I don't know what I was watching against Green Bay. That felt out of place. And then to see it kind of slide back in a week later, it's like, okay, they went back to the drawing board. They collected their thoughts. They played a cleaner game, and they played the type of game they played all of last year with Ben Johnson, and they did it without him. So I think the offense feels like the offense from the Bears game. To his point, the defense might be the defense from the Packers game. And can you win the division that way? Well, it's going to come down to Thanksgiving then, right?
Yes. It may just simply come down to Thanksgiving. But I also think in the second half, like, we saw the defense make some adjustments. Was it one touchdown in the second half for Green Bay? I mean, you are allowed to get better. You are allowed to make adjustments. And we know that there are some deficiencies that this defense has. If they can be a consistent team at stopping the run and then find a way, and whether it's the Aaron Glenn, you know, method of blitzing 52% of the time or man coverage along with the blitz, like, you've got to do what you've got to do. That's why we brought up, if there's going to be a deficiency, we just floated out there Trey Hendrickson. Leave, and everybody got all over us about it.
Why would you bring this up? They're never going to do it. All right, guys, never mind. The team's fine. Let's get to Mark in Southfield. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I think the team we've seen on Sunday is who they are. And I believe if that wasn't that team, they probably would have probably squoze and got that win. It probably would have been an ugly win versus a blowout. So I think they're right on track to where they need to be. Next week, I expect them not to get blown up, but to compete. But I don't think they'll win. But, yeah, that's just my thought, guys.
Yeah, look, I think the most likely scenario is they would split the next two, lose to the Ravens, beat the Browns. We'll have the inevitable, well, they can only beat the bad teams, they can't beat the good teams. But they're figuring out a young offensive line on the fly. If they're 2-2, go into Cincinnati, win that game, you're 3-2, go into Kansas City, no Rashee Rice. Wait, that's an NBC Tirico game. Are we going to get the Astros talk again?
I don't know. We'll effort Mike that week to see if we can clarify that.
It'll be a good time. He's a riot. So if we can get him on, we can do that. But I think 3-3, 4-2, and yeah, they'd have a couple bad losses to Green Bay and Baltimore. They'd have things that clearly they need to get better at, but we kind of knew that going into this season.
Yeah, and I mean, the schedule is, it's not going to change in terms of the opponents that you're going to play, but as we've already seen, it will change due to injuries, whether they're in-house with the Lions or it's someone else. I had pegged Cincinnati as a win for the Lions. I think it looks even more now. That was quick.
I'm getting good.
Yeah. It seems even more likely now with the injury to Joe Burrow.
Yep. Couple texts. Week two was more the Lions to me. Week one was too sloppy, missed assignments, uncharacteristic, something I don't believe is the standard for Dan and the crew. I don't expect it to be near perfect like Sunday, though. That's a dad in the drop-off line. Text says they're closer to the team that lost to Green Bay, but it's not a bad thing. Green Bay is the best in the league. Last week was a bad, bad, bad Bears team. I don't care what the Lions look like against the Bears. It's when they play the elite teams, Packers and Ravens. Those results are a better illustration of who this team is.
Mm-hmm. Where are the people that have to put the Bears in a Super Bowl? Remember there were a few of them in the preseason?
Yeah, the team that went worst to first?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have gone bye-bye.
You don't blow out teams in the NFL unless you're a good team. Week one is the lie, signed Jake on the ticket text.
You know what, guys? I think this comes down to is how good is Green Bay? I think they've got a solid to good offense, okay? I think the defense, let's see after a few more weeks here when teams get some real tape on how they're playing. I mean, I'm not dismissing the chance that they could be the best defense in the league or a top five for sure, but everybody's anointing them a little early.
Phone calls and ticket text. We'll get to Heather's news as well. Fallon featured Detroit yesterday. We'll have some fun with that in the news. It's 97.1. Let's be honest. Nobody plans for a new roof. It's the last thing you're thinking of, and you know they're expensive, so you're really trying to put it off. It comes at the worst time, and the costs can feel overwhelming. But it doesn't need to be stressful. I want you to know about Shaner Roofing, Michigan's trusted roofing experts for more than 30 years. Right now, Shaner's making it easier than ever to protect your home with 0% interest financing for 5 years. That means you can get the quality roof you need. You don't have to skimp on quality because you don't have the money right now, and you don't have the stress of the big upfront payment. Here's the thing. Shaner's not some fly-by-night company. There's a lot of roofing companies that come and go. They're here for a year and gone the next, so what good is your warranty? Shaner has been doing this for 30 years with a 4.9-star Google rating. They've earned that with thousands of satisfied homeowners who rave about the professionalism, the craftsmanship, and the customer care. So if your roof is leaking, if it's aging, if you're just ready for that peace of mind, don't wait. Go to MyMichiganRoof.com. That's MyMichiganRoof.com, powered by Shaner. Shaner Roofing, where quality meets affordability.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're hopping in the mystery machine. We're trying to solve this mystery in front of us. It's the Detroit Lions. Are they the team that played the Bears? Are they the team that played the Packers? I know what I want the answer to be. I want to see what happened last week. What is it to you? What's true? The team that showed up in Green Bay, the team that showed up against Chicago. And I understand the elements of both are there.
Right.
But as you sit today, which one do you feel is more true? I thought the game against the Bears felt familiar. That looked like their offense with Ben Johnson. It looked like their offense now without Ben Johnson. The Packer game felt foreign. Not that they would lose. I mean, they're going to lose some games. But that looked disjointed. There were a lot of missed assignments. They looked sloppy. They looked like a team that their starters didn't play in the preseason. And, John, I think the true test of who you are is what happens when you face adversity. Losing to Green Bay on the road the way they lost was real adversity. Their coach challenged them. They bounced back. They didn't win by one. They won by 31. I think the Bears game is more of who they are.
I lean that way as well for a number of reasons, some of which I've already talked about. And the other thing is that offensive line, showed great improvement, not just in the communication. They're on the same page. That really helps. But they showed improvement in their technique and in their follow-through, in their push up front against a good defensive line. Now, the defensive line, you could say, well, maybe they're in that same situation. Wrong places, wrong positions, communication errors. It's going to happen, but you've got to be able to take advantage of it. And the only way to do that is if you're playing with good technique. They did that. Now they've got to find a way to do that consistently. And that's the challenge for young players in this league, not just offensive linemen, but certainly if you're going to be playing up front, is there's going to be ups and downs. You're going to make more mistakes. You got to make those mistakes further apart.
9 o'clock today, I threw up a poll question just to see where people were at. Only a few hundred votes. 81%. The Bears game is more of who they are. And I know that's what we want to be true.
Right.
I think the challenge in all of this, though, is you're not going to be judged by what you do against the Bears. The games where we're going to find true judgment, games against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Games against Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington even later in the season. Kansas City. Those games are the ones where you'll get to plant your flag and say that's who we really are.
And it may just be a matter of they just need to play at a consistent level and stay healthy along the way.
Yeah.
Because we're watching Joe Burrow, you've Jaden Daniels banged up. Like there are going to be issues throughout the league. The Lions will have their own. Marcus Davenport, no shocker, but he's already hurt. We don't know if he's not going to play. We don't know if he will. We don't know if it's how long. But if that's the, you know, the impetus for Dan Campbell saying we're good, well, now we might not be.
Caleb is no Lamar. Baltimore's going to mollywop the Lions. Week one is who they are. Week two was more or less because the Bears are rough. Next time the Lions play them, even that game will be different.
I would expect it to be different. I would expect that the Bears would be better with a new coach, a new system, new players.
Going into this game, I'm really torn on how good is Baltimore's defense? Are they bad? If you look at their points allowed, you'd say they're really bad. But I mean, the Bills only had 25 points until late in that game.
Until the last 5 minutes,
you know. And the Browns did a little stuff last week, but then did nothing in the second half. It's like I that's what I'm most intrigued about this game is because I think the Lions are going to have to score some points.
Well, so the defense last year for Baltimore was the weak spot.
Right.
And they addressed it with some draft picks. They addressed it with, you know, Starks in the secondary, Jair Alexander. Now, he got dinged up again. I think he might be hurt. So, I mean, this is the NFL season. And it's the same thing that we talk about with Leland. Sometimes it's not who you play, but it's when you play him.
Very quickly, I think a lot of people can't get that Baltimore game out of their head from 2 years ago when it was 28-0, like a blink of an eye.
Oh, yeah.
I expect the Lions offense to be able to score here. You know, so Baltimore's probably going to look pretty similar on offense in this game to that game, but the Lions have to score with them.
Yes.
I think Baltimore might be number one in the NFL in pressures right now. So you really want to put
we'll see.
Exactly, a good test. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
You guys, Robert Redford has passed away at the age of 89. That's his family sad. Says that he passed away at his home, surrounded by those he loved. He's known for his starring roles in Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, and The Natural, of course. He also directed award-winning films such as The Ordinary People and A River Runs Through It. His last film that he acted in, he was 82 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he was still pretty active up until... I mean, I don't know if he was suffering from anything. It sounds like he passed away in his sleep. So I don't know if he was suffering from an illness or he was just 89 years old.
Well, he was an icon, obviously, a little bit more for an older group. But Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Really? I've never seen it.
It's tremendous. But he's been in so many movies. And The Natural, Roy Hobbs, that is one that I think a lot of our listeners have seen many times.
For sure.
Also, one of the most used internet memes you're going to see of him nodding, the bearded guy is Robert Redford and Jeremiah Johnson.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
And secondly, I do want to mention Winter Soldier. He was in Winter Soldier. Captain America.
Captain America, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Yeah, he's been in a, he's been in a lot of things that I have not seen, but everyone knows Robert Redford. Today is the 20th anniversary of Slo's Barbecue. You might not know that, but it was just one of the Detroit staples that was celebrated last night on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. So the episode, like we mentioned, was taped on Sunday after the big Lions victory at the Detroit Opera House. Fallon brought out several Detroit stars, talked extensively about the city throughout the entire show. He did learn how to kick a field goal from Rory. Cade Cunningham was there, gifted him some buffs. He also got a game ball from Aiden Hutchinson. And then he learned about Detroit, about Detroit street names, and he got to eat Slo's with Keegan-Michael Key. So one of the things that they did was a game where they showed a Detroit street name, right, that might not be easy to pronounce by somebody who doesn't live in the city. One of the street names that was put up was DeQuinder. And here is Jimmy Fallon attempting to pronounce it.
There has to have been.
DeQuindre?
If that's who you are, call us. We want to hear from the DeQuindre in Detroit.
It sounds nice when he said it. Like, I've never never thought about the name DeQuindre, but when he said it out loud, I'm like, oh, that could totally be a name.
They also did Livernois and Gratiot, and they kept saying Gratiot, and Fallon's like, we're gonna get fine. Stop saying it.
Seemed like a fun episode for sure that highlighted some great things throughout the city. Hey, the next time you eat breakfast, you might want to think about when you're eating it, because the time you eat breakfast could have a big impact on the length of your life. So new research suggests that eating breakfast earlier in the day may help add years to your life.
All right. No one eats earlier than we do.
Gosh, I'm not eating breakfast, though.
Why not? Well, you eat breakfast here.
I eat a banana every single day. That's not breakfast. And then I go home and eat later.
Well, it doesn't say what your breakfast has to be. It can be a banana.
It doesn't say that, but to me, that's not really a breakfast. That's like a snack.
You are
it's a morning snack.
Breaking your fast.
But yeah, that's true. I am breaking the fast and eating in the morning. But they did this decades-long study that found that the timing of meals, especially breakfast, may be just as important to what you're actually eating and could signal underlying health problems. So they show, like, as you age, you're usually pushing breakfast back later, which then pushes dinner back later, which then pushes lunch. Everything gets pushed back later. And that is tied. They see things. The reason that's happening could be poor sleep, lifestyle changes, dental problems. But of all the of the study, the people who ate breakfast later didn't live nearly as long. So,
all right.
I don't think about that the next time you have breakfast at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
All right. Heather with the news. A lot of talk about the Lions on Monday. We try to carve out time for the college teams on Tuesdays. Coming up next, the takeaways from Michigan and Michigan State. It's 97.1.
Hey, you guys. It's Heather, and you know I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. Well, listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right. $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds, rankings based on Root Metrics Root Score report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got the birthday boy in studio rocking the Michigan hat.
I have a Michigan hat.
Happy birthday to Teddy.
How old are you?
Nine.
It looks like it could be nine.
Yeah. No, only four today.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. And he brought donuts.
He brought donuts, which is always a welcome sight. We've had donuts like every day this week already.
Right? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with donuts on a daily basis. That's, donut a day.
Yes. Look at my waistline.
Keeps the diet a little. Okay. The diet away.
All right. He's got the headphones on. We're ready to go here. We spent a lot of time talking about the Lions yesterday, and we do want to talk a little bit about the college teams to wrap up the show today. And we've sprinkled them in. I know the Odyssey app's been acting up, but you'll eventually be able to go back and rewind and listen to that or catch the podcast. But, John, your thoughts on what Michigan did and what Michigan State did over the weekend as we gear up for what's a huge week for both of them?
Well, I mean, it all surrounds, all the conversation surrounds the quarterback play. And if you're going to get good quarterback play, you're going to be in every game. Now, you may not win the way you want. The style points might not be there. They certainly were for Michigan this weekend, but not a lot of style points for Michigan State. But they did what they had to do. They're 3-0 in the non-conference. And what did we say? If they're going to get to a bowl game, if they're going to have a chance to get to 7 or 8 wins, they're going to have to go undefeated in the non-conference. And the Boston College game, all right, it's not a program victory, but it would have been... it would have been almost unrecoverable if they had lost that game.
It was a necessary win. It wasn't a program win, but it was one they had to have. I know Spartan fans are restless today. Like, their defense is not good. Only UCLA has given up more points in the Big Ten. They've got issues, okay? I'm not telling them to, like, ignore it because they're 3-0. And I don't know how many more wins are on this schedule if the defense plays that way. But with Aiden Chiles, you do have the ability to steal a couple games. And at 3-0, you're trying to show progress from a year ago, and it's still right in front of them. For Michigan, a lot is going to be made about Bryce Underwood. I don't really care how he looked against Central Michigan. I care about why he looked that way. It's because you're opening the offense. You don't really learn a lot about blowing out a team like the Chippewas. I know it's my school. We're just not very good. We got a first-year head coach, and we can't match up. You don't get those kind of windows. You're not going to have that much running room when you play other teams. But I liked that they opened things up. If I was looking at it from a Michigan fan standpoint, I wouldn't care how Bryce looked. I'd care that they are finally saying he's got the green light. We're going to use him in the run game. We're going to let him throw the ball down the field, early downs. We're not going to babysit him anymore. Like, John, the fact that he threw more passes against CMU in a game he didn't finish than he did in Norman when they were trailing the whole time, that can't happen. And the lesson is learned. I think if you're a Wolverine fan, you want to see, we'll live and die. We'll learn with Bryce. We'll let him test his limits. We'll get burned a little bit. But the alternative is handcuff him and win 8 games and wonder what if. And I think that's what you're excited about is, if it's true, what Biff told you, there's no limits. We're going to take the handcuffs off the guy. That's what you're excited about.
It is. And I mean, with the guy that has the talents he has, you're going to have, I mean, he's going to be an individual that will use those talents for good. And he'll also use them, and some of the things that he's going to do are not going to be good. There's risks involved. He threw a bad interception against Central Michigan. But you can't put him in a bubble and not make those mistakes. You're going to stunt the growth. You've got to let him go out there and make some mistakes, make some plays. And I think by the end of the day, and we saw it against Central, we'll see it against Nebraska, USC, all these other games. I think at the end of the day, you're going to get many more positives than you will negatives. And as the season goes on and he learns from some of those mistakes, he'll make new ones.
Well, right. I think there's the fear.
You don't want to keep making the same ones. And that's what we've heard from Sharon. So we heard from Chip. We've heard from so many people that he is a student of the game. He's going to get better, but you got to let him go out there and expose him to the mistakes that are there to be made.
It's hands-on learning. Like, I think the fear that you have is what Florida went through last weekend down in Death Valley when they face LSU. Lagway is in his second year, but it was his first road start in the SEC. And they let him sling it, and he threw 5 picks, including a pick 6. He lost them that football game. But the alternative is, you don't ever push the ball down the field. You're playing just to hang in, and you're going to wonder what if. Because you're probably not winning the game if you don't let your quarterback go. Like, Michigan wasn't going to beat Oklahoma either way, but you're left wondering, what if? What if they gave Bryce a couple chances and he simply made a play and put the team on his back? And when he realized, oh, I can't get away with it, they'd be better suited for Nebraska this week and better suited for USC and Ohio State and more of the big games later in the season for Michigan.
And if you're going to make some of those quarterback runs, some of them are going to be, you know, read options. Some of them are just straight quarterback runs, but he's got to see it all at game speed. And you've got to be able to read, whether it's the outside linebacker, edge defender, defensive end, defensive tackle, whoever it is that you're reading, you've got to be able to see it so you know, okay, I'm handing off this time, or I'm not, I'm keeping it, and this is what I'm doing after. All of those things, I wish we had seen it sooner, but I'm glad we're seeing it now going into Big Ten season versus waiting until week 9 or 10 or unveiling it against Ohio State.
Are we missing the mark on MSU? Because the early returns, people are livid with their 3-0 football team. First text, I'd rather have Harlan Barnett coaching this team.
Jeez.
Another one says, he could just get on with it and go to UCLA any day now. Texter says, MSU is currently an embarrassment. Get Smith out of here. Bring in a coach who can actually coach football. And one more says, I've watched every MSU game for decades. I'm done until Smith's gone. He's the worst coach I've ever seen in green and white. These are real ticket texts from people? I don't think things are perfect in East Lansing, but...
That's, I've been blown away by this morning. Like the vitriol towards him. I get that people aren't happy. Man, he's how many games? 15 games into his coaching, and
yeah,
I mean the defense. Yeah, it's a problem, but you've got to give somebody time. I think there's a disconnect. I don't.
You know what it is?
I don't think people think he wants to really be here. That he took the job for the money to get out of the Pac-12.
So Oregon State was going to get thrown, you know, into turmoil, into chaos, not having a conference.
I mean, look what's happened to that program. They're 35.5-point underdog against Oregon, their in-state rival.
Yeah. He got out before the guillotine fell.
Yeah.
But
an escape hatch, and that he'll do it again.
Go home to Pasadena and UCLA. It's not a better job. The guys take jobs for all kinds of reasons. I think some of the issue here, too, is the Indiana effect. When Cignetti comes in and flips Indiana football, a basketball school, they come in and they win enough games to go to the college football playoff overnight. It's a lot harder for Wisconsin to look at Luke Fickell and go, well, we just got to be more patient. And if you're an MSU fan, you're going, well, year two, if I don't see it now, are we ever going to see it? I would just caution people, while I'm not going to give him the rubber stamp right now, I see the issues. Yep. It's week 4. You know what I mean? Like, let's revisit this when they're 3-5 and they're getting blown out at the end of the season.
Yeah, if you want to make that change, all right, now all of a sudden, in a very tumultuous time in college football, in college sports, when it's NIL, it's transfer portal, it's all of these things, and I know you're probably thinking, well, we'll just get another coach in here that'll, you know, be able to generate more money and more recruits. Well, I think Cignetti hit it at the perfect time because it was early. He brought a lot of players with him.
From James Madison.
Yeah. And now we'll see. I mean, is Cignetti for real? We'll find out maybe this weekend.
They have one big test this weekend, yeah.
When they play Illinois, because we don't know against, you know, Indiana State. Like, the Sycamores, they're not.
Yeah, they put up 70 against
So, you got to be careful that you're not always hitting the reset button and other programs are building while you're just continuing to, well, okay, it's not working out, so we're going to hit the reset button. If that doesn't work out in the next 15 games, a year and three games, you're going to hit the reset button again?
And again, the season, there are moments for them to go out and show growth. The Michigan-Michigan State game is not a gimme.
No.
You know, I'm just putting it out there. That game's a game MSU can win. How differently do we view Jonathan Smith if in year two you can spin the narrative, he gets the rivalry, he's 1-1 against Michigan, he's in the fight, he's our guy. And look, if it goes ugly, and it was ugly at the end of last year, John, it's super simple. The AD didn't hire him. The AD might want to go get his own guy.
Okay, that's the easy out.
It may end up that way, but I'm shocked that that's where we're at on September 16th from people.
With a 3-0 team.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Okay, you're 3-0, and let's just take a look at the ones that you believe that they should win. UCLA, I think they should beat Minnesota and Maryland. What's that get you? Get you a bowl game.
Yeah.
All right, now you're playing.
Is that enough for people?
At Iowa, I don't know that Iowa is a team that threatens anybody's defense.
No.
And so maybe you pull one out there,
right,
and then you're looking
capitalize.
At USC, Nebraska, Indiana, Michigan, and Penn State. And okay, Penn State may be on a different level.
Yeah.
But all those other teams, I think you're at least in the game.
Steal one.
And if you have a quarterback like Aiden Chiles, if he protects the football and he is a guy that he doesn't need to be your leading rusher, he happened to be against Youngstown State, but if he's a guy that can pick up first downs, extend drives, and frustrate a defense, you're in those games.
248-539-9797. chance to speak about your college team, Michigan, Michigan State. And as this week goes on, I think we're going to put a greater emphasis on them, right? The Lions don't play until Monday, and Michigan has a test against Nebraska on the road, see what they learned from Norman. And for MSU, look, your defense hasn't been good enough. USC can sling it. They're going to be like 17-point underdogs. We're going to find out a lot about MSU when they travel out west. Mm-hmm. You have to stay up late to watch it. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, Abraham & Rose has successfully specialized in resolving all types of tax problems for over 30 years. Their extensive experience means that when you're facing an IRS collection or audit, you can rely on their law firm. Many law firms come and go, but for 30 years of experience, it's a testament to their success. Their experienced team is ready to evaluate any underlying federal or state income taxes or payroll taxes. All you have to do is visit abrahamandrose.com today, or you can call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
I got to tell you, it's basically unanimous on the ticket text. Jonathan Smith is a zero. I graduated in 2020, and our program has largely been an embarrassment for 10 years. College coaches don't get 5 years anymore. I mean, he doesn't even get like a year and a half for some people.
Or a 3-0 start.
The program is dull. There's no juice. I'm 28. You couldn't pay me to go to East Lansing for the day to tailgate and to go to an MSU game. Michigan State looks like they've taken a step back from last year. The run game's worse. The defense is worse. We don't win another game this season.
Wow.
First of all, they're going to host UCLA, who fired their coach. They got to come cross country and play a noon kick Eastern time. So 9 a.m. their local time.
Right.
So that to me is a gimme on the schedule.
Four games?
I'm not telling them to celebrate, but like the hyperbole of this. You would think they're 0-3 the way the responses have come in. And we did get one guy who says, I feel like you're cherry picking texts. I don't see MSU Twitter this negative. I'm telling you guys, I can't find a positive text for the 3-0 Spartans. And look, if you can't find 8 or 9 wins, maybe that's the source of the doom, but they should make a bowl and Child steals 1 or 2. You have your program wins, and I mean, it sure beats the alternative, which is starting over.
It does. And I mean, until you play the games, you have no idea. And I understand, you know, you play against Youngstown State and you're thinking it should have been a 50-4, 50-3 win. I don't know how you're going to get 4-2 safeties. But like, just because you didn't blow them out is game, why you're upset.
The game was never in jeopardy, though.
No, it wasn't.
You know, and I think some Spartan fans are doing this. First off, I think in general they don't like Jonathan Smith. I just feel that that's the vibe I get.
He's an outsider. He doesn't connect.
Yeah, and it's boring. But you can't connect the dots of, okay, you played a double OT game with Boston College, and then they go lose to Stanford.
Yeah, so now they're factoring in saying that's not a good win.
Right, and you got to realize these are college kids, especially still early in the year with the portal and the gelling. Think about the psychological damage that Boston College loss was for Boston College.
Yeah.
And then they had to travel out west. You just made the point about UCLA come in here. These things matter. And I also think State's learning to win and grow. It was a very natural letdown. Now, do they have defensive problems? Yeah. And then USC going to hang 40 plus?
Probably.
But this is a game you're not expected to win.
And what are these texts going to look like after they actually lose a game?
Right.
They're going to tell them just leave him out in L.A.
It's like we're the ones being positive about State around here.
Green
Think about
wall.
That. Yeah.
I mean, it's
bizarre, man. I don't know, like, the expectation before the year, I mean, we talked about it. What did we think? Like,
well, I was
7-8 wins?
I said, I think it was at 6.
Okay.
And I thought they were going to be, and I don't think it's a big, giant leap to go from 6 to 8. Because some of those games, if Aiden Childs plays the way that he has or can, if you have a quarterback like that, you can win games.
You know, it's funny, like a lot of these texts sound like the guy I host a podcast with, but even he said, what, 8 wins and beat somebody of note.
Yeah.
Is that not on the table right now? Did I miss the memo? I mean, can they not beat Michigan this year? Can they not beat anybody of note this season?
They can. And
they've already lost so many games, they can't get to the 8-win threshold. Like, I'm a little confused at the tone of Spartan fans right now.
Well, I mean, at least they're starting out Big Ten play 3-0. Like, This would be a completely different conversation if they were 2-1, 1-2.
Well, they had to be because the schedule set up for them with two gimmies, Western and Youngstown State,
yeah.
And Boston College was, hey, you got to show you're different than last year. This was the script. Start 3-0 when they're 3-0. Earlier today on the show, we had the two Grand Slam. And we normally play it twice if the guy wins. We're going to play it again. The guy didn't win.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.